Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Primos y primas, que lo que, welcome, bienvenidos to the Dear God, Are We There Yet? The podcast con tu prima favorita, soy Alicia Sanchez, and yes, this podcast is bilingual, empowering social good one conversation at a time, sharing weekly insights and inspirations from people adding their magic to make this world a better place. Whether you want to learn more about volunteer travel, being more socially conscious, or you love a good conversation that breaks down barriers while evoking pasión and emoción, this is the podcast for you. Grab a cafecito y vamos a hablar. Primos y primas, que lo que, bienvenidos to the Dear God, Are We There Yet? The podcast. Claro que sí, ya tú sabes. I have a guest this week, and you know, every time I'm always talking about your health and, you know, that journey, and it's, you know, it's not just about the physical health. And for those of you que me conocen a mí, I've had a hysterectomy, I've battled cancer, I've battled so many different things health-wise that's really kept me up and down and up and down on so many emotions. But I am so happy because I have a guest today that she's going to be talking about, wow, not only her journey, her vision, but some things that people are not talking about when it comes to food. And you know, food is life. And so I'm, without any further ado, tenemos nuestra prima aquí, Itzel. Y así que se dice tu nombre, Itzel. ¿Cómo se dice primero?
Sí, mi nombre se pronuncia Itzel. Itzel Calderón.
Okay, Itzel. Itzel. And so Itzel, tell everyone a little bit about you and a little bit about your background and your story and how did you get started, and before we start giving them all the good stuff.
Gotcha. Okay, well, my name is Itzel and yo nací en México. Nos mudamos para acá cuando yo tenía 4 años. So I've pretty much grown up in the United States. But I have a Mexican ancestry. My family, we all migrated here. You know, for the first time, we're all Mexican natives. Mm-hmm. So that being said, you know, I had to learn English as a second language. I was an ESOL, and I just grew up here, and everything was very foreign to me. And I grew up eating what was culturally normal for a Mexican household. Immediately when I turned 13 and I started going into puberty, I started experiencing a lot of breakouts, like a lot of acne, way more than my other friends. And you kind of think it's normal for that age, but then as I got older, it just continued. Like the breaking out didn't stop.
And it was really
tormenting because it was embarrassing. You know, you're growing up, you want to be cute, you want to be attractive, and you feel so embarrassed. And none of my friends were breaking out. None of my friends were breaking out the way I was. But my mom did the best she could. She took me to doctors, you know, dermatologists, antibiotics, the whole nine, everything. And nothing really worked. Nothing really worked for me. And then finally, when I was 19, so just, you know, that time period from 13 to 19, so many years, I was prescribed Accutane, which I don't know if, have you ever heard of Accutane?
Pero eso peligroso. That's so horrible, isn't it? It's like the most profound drug that you can give for your dermatologist, no? Isn't it bad?
Yeah, so it is. It's actually really toxic. It was, from what I understand, it was against the law for just like a year or two, but then they brought it back. A lot of dermatologists actually clear their patients with a psychiatrist before prescribing it because it has so many side effects, some of the most dangerous ones being suicide and thoughts of like self-harm, depressive thoughts, and infertility for women. Because what Accutane does, it pretty much eliminates your body's capacity to create oil. So then, because if you can't create oil, then you technically can't break out. But we need oil in our body, you know, for our hair, for our skin, for our brain, you know, healthy oils. So even though I was 19 and it was a very painful experience, I did the research and I decided not to take the Accutane. I decided to learn more about the health aspects of it and the diet and the nutrition. And that was when I did my first fast, is when I was 19. I did a 3-day apple fast. And which also was cleaning out an enema, which was cleaning out your colon, which is really important that people do that at least once a year to clean and detox your body. And I experienced great results. Like, it was better results than any other drug or antibiotic I had ever used. That was when I started
realizing. It's like the natural route.
Correct.
The natural route.
And it wasn't painful. It was fast. And I felt great. And that was when I realized at 19 that, for me personally, food and natural healing was going to be the route that I was going to take.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. And it's, you know, it's something.
Yeah.
And just to interrupt real quick, food is something that we don't know the true value of it until we start to see how it affects ourselves on a daily basis. And as we grow, because as you can see, you said you started when you were, you know, the adolescent age. And then as you grew up, I mean, we're our culture. We eat everything. Okay. Like everything. We're hungry. We have fun, whatever it is. We make whatever it is. And we don't realize these things. And of course, we contradict ourselves. I'm, you know, Dominicans, we love to have all these flamevios. And I'm like, hold on, but you're eating that pork that has this, and that is going to get, but then you're giving me this flamevio. So it's like, it's not until you start to do your own research, like you said you did, in order for you to realize this is me. I need something for me, not what everybody else. But go ahead. I want to know what was, you know, beyond this, what happened? Like, where did this take you afterwards, like knowing that this was such a drastic change in your life?
Yeah, so that what you just said is exactly one of the most important things to keep in mind, is that health is a personal journey, right? It's so individual. It's as unique as your fingerprint. And my health journey is never going to look like anybody else's. I'm not, like, I know how hard it was to live with acne, so I'm not gonna bash anybody that decides to take Accutane or decides to take the harsh drugs.
Of course.
They know what they could do. But for me personally, those side effects really, really scared me. So at 19 was when I decided to go the natural route, and I went to, and I got an esthetician's license to learn more about skincare so I could treat my own skin, because all the dermatologists that I had been to, they weren't able to help me. So I got the esthetician's license, and I started a beauty career that lasted 11 years.
Wow. So it's like you basically changed your life, and from one day to another based on one outcome that you saw. So you got into the beauty field, and then what happened? Because just to say, there's so much in the beautiful, I mean, that I've just learned in the past 5 years, that is like some nasty stuff. It's maquillaje is not always the best. So tell me, like, what happened when you got there? Was it another awakening? Like, what happened?
So it's so interesting that you say that, because those thoughts of what you just mentioned, makeup being toxic and the negative connotations that go along with makeup, after several years of being in the beauty industry and working for Sephora, MAC, Estee Lauder, Becca, you know, lots of different brands, I had this revelation in my mind that was like, oh my God, I'm working for this industry and this community that benefits off the insecurities of women.
Yeah.
And women are coming in and they're just so insecure and they're so sad and they're so depressed. And this is literally all they have to cover it up and to look presentable, quote unquote presentable, right? Based on society standards in the world. And then they get some respect and people think they're cute and people treat them well. So then they feel good. But then as soon as they wash the makeup off, it's like you're really not nourishing these other parts of your body.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that is very true. I remember trying to fill voids with certain things growing up. And I'm like, well, I'll just put makeup on and I'll feel better. And it's like, no, it needs to come. That beauty, that self-love needs to come from inside. Like, you can't go hide it off. And then you're going to look at that next to anybody because you're like, ay, no tengo mi maquillaje. And trust me, girl, I can speak. And all my primas and primos listening, like, I'm Dominican. And you, if you know any kind of Dominican, we don't leave our house without a lot of different things. And, you know, and maybe it's being vain. I am a little vain and I am going to admit it. Yo no salgo la casa como una loca. I mean, I might not have all my makeup on, but you know, I don't, even if I don't have any makeup on, me veo decente. Like, it's just, again, ingrained in my mind of how, what beauty is supposed to be. Is it right? No, it's not all right. No, because you know, it's not. But then I look at it in a different perspective of, you know, people judging you and how you look and, you know, the color of your skin and all that. And that's just for another podcast. But what I'm trying to say is that, yes, you are so right. So these women would come in there and then now you're seeing two worlds. Like, how do you do that? You live in the two worlds now.
Oh, yeah. I felt like I was living in two worlds. I felt like I was being a hypocrite. And I just felt so out of touch with a career that I had been in for like 9 years at that point. And I was like having like a crisis, a career crisis. I didn't know how it was going to go on. It was very dramatic.
Wow.
And anyone that knows me knows it was really dramatic. But then I started learning, you know, my health journey continued over all of these years. And I started learning about Dr. Mark Hyman, who's published many New York Times bestselling books. And he's the head of integrative medicine at the Cleveland Clinic.
Oh, wow.
And then I looked into what integrative medicine is, and the approach was so beautiful and it really resonated with me. And integrative medicine takes into thought pretty much someone's lifestyle as a whole, their relationships, their home environment, their emotion, their relation to their community, their satisfaction with their career, their presence in the community. It takes into consideration all of these things as lifestyle factors, because what you find is when you look at a particular demographic in an area, they tend to have the same, not only income, obviously, but they tend to have the same health issues. It's as contagious. Yeah, it's amazing. It's mind blowing. So it changed my life. And I thought, well, health has always been so personal for me and so transformative in the way that it's been able to help me clear my acne, learn about what were these acne triggers, which for all women are hormones, fungus, bacteria, and those are leaky gut, you know, which like a
bacteria. Oh, yeah.
So those are the four main triggers for acne. And then I just decided that I was going to go to IIN to learn integrative medicine, to be an integrative health coach. And once I did that, and I kind of started realizing how I could help women, I'm more like, yeah, you know, if you want to learn how to doll up, you know, makeup has been civilizations for years, you know, back to the Egyptians, back to the Native Americans, we've always dressed our face. So
yeah,
if you're fun, you know, it's like whatever. But as long as you know that what's most important is taking care of your body, taking care of your spirit, taking care of your heart, practicing forgiveness, because beauty is health. Beauty is not the stuff that you put on your face. It's not the clothes you put on your body. Beauty is you feeling and being healthy and it exuding out into the people around you. Beauty is noticed. It's radiant and it's a sparkle and a shine in someone's eyes when they're living intentionally and with
That is so true, because I remember, you know, one of my friends said to me one time, like, wow, you look, she didn't say you look good. She said, you look healthy. And I was like, that is the definition of then you're telling me that I'm beautiful and I feel it. She told me this a long time ago. And of course I am healthy now, but we don't see it that way. Instead, we think, oh, you're beautiful, or you're this, but you're healthy is your beauty. It encompasses every single thing. Now, you touched base on this, doctor, and I'm going to definitely want to deletrear algo, porque yo no lo sé cómo se llama ese hombre, but is that considered the Fantastic Four that you were talking about to me before? Like, is that the elements that we don't consider, that we consider what's impacted or no?
So, yeah, well, there's 12 areas of food. They're called primary nourishment. So those are, that's literally your primary food. Food actually is your secondary nourishment. So that's your primary nourishment, which is joy, spirituality, health, physical activity, home cooking, social life, creativity, finances, education, career, and relationships. So that, if those, because this is the thing, think about it. If your finances are all over the place and you feel like you're broke or you're very stressed about your finances, are you really going to be able to make healthy food choices?
No.
You're going to eat what's going to make you feel good. Something that's going to release dopamine, either a tub of ice cream, some
chocolate,
something chocolate. Yeah. That's because you're going to want to get an emotional release from the food you're getting, because your financial life is in shambles, you know? And same thing goes for everything. If you're not in touch with your spirituality, if you feel lonely, loneliness has been pretty much scientifically proven that loneliness is as dangerous as having a daily, like a cigarette habit. So if you're up to smoking half a day, loneliness. That's how toxic loneliness is to the body. So that's why this is a revolutionary way of looking at health. Instead of just trying to force yourself to eat these healthy foods and trying to, I can't eat this, I can't eat that, this is bad, this is good. No, look at your life as a whole. Nourish yourself and all these other aspects of life, and you will naturally be inclined to make healthier food choices because you have now adopted a value system into your life, right?
Yeah. And it's so I want to pause real quick for everybody listening, because this comes so natural for you. I mean, tú sabes tu cosa, like this is your stuff, right? And whenever I have somebody on my podcast as like a subject matter expert, like I like to say it in something like this, real quick, before we move on the, you know, the adding and eliminating, what can we do right away when we feel like we want to say chocolate, we want to say ice cream, like what can we do immediately that's an action for us that lets us know, okay, I need to step away from this because this is coming? Like, what is something that we can be consciously, you know, it's like prepared for that, for us to make a different choice?
Right. So that's a really good, great question. And my answer to that, surprisingly enough, is going to be self-love. That's the first thing to practice. First, you're going to practice self-love and celebrate yourself that you want to make a healthier food choice and that you're taking responsibility for this decision. That's the first thing. Because you want to eliminate any toxic or negative feelings relating to food, because that will also hurt your digestive system if you have negative connotations to particular food items, right?
So, yeah.
And then you want to realize in self-love that food is addictive. So when you look at sugar, there was a study on rats that they were given crack, right? They were made to cocaine, actually. And then they switched, and then they put another little pipe in there that was giving them sugar. It's so interesting, right? The rats actually dropped the cocaine and switched to sugar.
So Yes. That analogy is so clear, because you think about exactly.
Yeah, and then you go to cheese, So cheese has casein in it. Casein has casomorphins. It's literally a morphine-like compound that it triggers the same areas of the brain that heroin does.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's the first step, self-love. Because right there you go, you know what? I am addicted to these foods. And I'm going to love myself through this process that I'm about to go through, because this is going to be a journey. This is not something that's going to happen overnight. And the last thing I'm going to do, if this food is my enemy, I'm not going to be my enemy. I'm not going to contribute to that. And you commit to that. You commit to that self-love, and that it's going to be a positive journey, and that you're going to hold your hand no matter what happens. You know, first thing, educate and self-love. I think that's the most important tool.
Yeah, and self-love, it comes from, I don't need this because this is really, I'm just tapando, like I'm covering something else when I need to be discovering my why and where this is coming from. And, you know, it's crazy because when you start to take the layers off of what self-love is, you start to understand yourself at a different level that you just try to stay sane at the same time. You're like, wow, I'm eating this, esta mierda, because this, and this depresses me and this triggers me. And Itzy, tell us about the whole adding and it's a vicious cycle. And tell us about the adding and adding versus eliminating, because I think this connotation, and I'm actually having a podcast with someone else, one of my trainers, because she's a believer of not, you know, she's a believer of not like cold turkey on certain things. She's a nutritionist and she says the same thing, like, you know, be conscious of what it is, but don't say to yourself, okay, I'm going to, like from one day to night, I'm going to just take this off and I'm not going to eat this no more, because then you go back to eating it like the next day. Is that right?
Correct. That's absolutely true. You will immediately binge. That's why calorie restriction diets, they're not sustainable long term. Nobody, I think it's like 2% of people stay on a diet after like a year. So it's not sustainable. I agree with your, I don't know if you said nutritionist or dietitian.
Yeah, she's a trainer. Yeah, she's my trainer.
because you want long-term sustainability. So that's too dramatic. It's unrealistic. No one has that much self-discipline to stick to that. So what you want to do is, instead of psyching yourself out and eliminating all this stuff from your diet, is you want to focus on adding healthy things to your diet. So do you love apples? Do you love blueberries? Do you love avocados? Say, hey, this week I'm going to add 4 servings of fruits every day. So that day, mm-hmm. you eat an apple, you eat a banana, you eat 2 cups of blueberries and 2 cups of strawberries, right? So now every day, now for a week, you've added 4 servings of fruits a day. You're already on a roll. That's more than 70% of people do right there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next week, say, I'm going to add a good hefty vegetable side dish to my meal. So now you're adding vegetables to your daily intake and fruits, and then just keep accruing like that. And so, you know, give yourself a goal that, and then at the end of the month, you're probably eating like a salad a day and those 4 fruits a day.
Exactly. So for all my Latinos to listening to you right now, you see, you hear what she's saying. No te pongas exagerado que one day que tú tienes que ponerte 4 frutas y 4 vegetales, 4 each, and then you're just like, next week, you're like, I don't want to do this no more. She's saying something super simple, super clear, and I think this would also do for my moms listening, for your children that don't want to eat fruits and vegetables. This is a great way to introduce it too, because think about it, it's one at a time, and if you don't like something, you end up replacing it with something else. But I just wanted to interrupt you for that, because I think it's so important. We think that it's not as easy as just something one at a time. We feel like we have to do these major change because society makes us feel like that, or because we see, you know, Tom, Dick, and Harry that lost weight, you know, overnight. And I think that causes that pressure that, you know, Lucy always says, faster is not better, you know? So keep going, girl. I feel passionate about this. That's why I had to put my little 2 cents in.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a totally different mindset. Don't stress yourself out. Realize that you are addicted to sugar and cheese, and that you're going to take it easy by adding and not stressing yourself out. That way you have a positive experience. You're proud of yourself. You're making healthier decisions. You're building up your confidence. You're building up your discipline. So those are the things that guarantee long-term results, because otherwise you're just going to be overwhelmed. So if you want to look at a healthy food plate, it has to have your Fantastic Four, right? So it's got to have some healthy fats on there. It's got to have some carbs on there, some greens, and some protein, because that's how you stay full. That's how you nourish your body. That's how you give your body everything it needs to produce energy. You're not just going to eat a salad and a fruit. You know, you want to make sure you have some broccoli, some mashed potato, some sweet potato, a cup of wild rice, a cup of quinoa, maybe some beans on there. I'm full just talking about it. That's a lot of food.
It is a lot of food. We don't think of it like that. Yeah, we don't think about that, because we don't think that it's filling. One thing is filling me, that I love arroz. Like, I love rice so much. But when I started to introduce myself into different grains and different things, because again, the generational thing, you know, that's what you eat. You don't know what quinoa and all these other things are. And then you start saying, wow, with this and that and lentils and that, oh my God, I'm full. And you start nourishing your body. So I love that you said that.
Yeah, I mean, so as long as you just put those 4 on your plate, you're going to be full and you're going to be able to stick to your whatever your nutrition plan is. You know, I don't believe in calling it in a diet. I believe in calling it a self-love lifestyle. right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something that when you start to say a diet, you already setting yourself up for, why does it have to be that? It needs to be a way of living. And para la gente escuchando, like, just a little bit of side, you know, to this conversation, I have always been on this thing like, oh, I'm going to go on a diet, I'm going to go on the diet. And I had to change my mind. I had to start to change the way that I speak. It's not a dieta. It's a way of life. Like, I need to eat this way because it's important for me to be healthy because of X, Y, Z. And when somebody tells you, oh, puta gordita, you got a little fat, or you got a little this, or you're too skinny, or you're that, like, it starts to mess with your mind, and you feel like you need to do all these drastic changes in your life based on that. And which comes to my next point with you that I wanted to ask you, Itzel, because you mentioned, because society has a lot to do with the way we eat and with food propaganda. I want to talk about, and I'm shifting gear right now because of, in schools, we give them crappy food. Like, we give kids free lunch is nothing but crappy food, right? And I don't know if you've ever seen the lunches from all around the world and how America has the worst lunch. I don't know. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, I definitely have seen that, because if you look at our food plate, which is what we have now, the My Plate, that's what the U.S. government has, it looks very different to a lot of other countries. I'm pretty sure we are the only country that has dairy as part of the food plate. And that's because of the special interests of dairy, how much money they pay the government for the government to back dairy.
Yeah.
And it's shown that 80% of African Americans, it's an average, but that's about 80, definitely higher than 70% of African Americans are dairy intolerant. And like, how much was it? Was like 50%, almost no, 100% of Native Americans, 60 to 65% of Asians. Most people are allergic to dairy, but yet it's on the government My Plate.
Yeah, which makes no sense. So you're telling me, I mean, I've seen this before where we would drive around in different neighborhoods, and what do you see? You see Popeyes, you see KFC, you see all these things. Then you see in lunch, you don't even know. It's like you're setting them up for failure because you're not teaching them about food. You're not teaching people about food. And when I say them, I'm talking about children. You're not teaching communities about food. And of course, we all know, I mean, I had a podcast about, you know, the government is trying to kill us. Like, I think, I don't know how long ago I had it. And thank you for YouTube for taking it off. It's okay. I'm still going to have these conversations. But we have to look at the situations that we, the decisions that we make in our family and in our homes, but also how can we make an impact as well? So I want you to touch a little bit based on, the food, you know, that whole decision-making process and the food choices and the effects, the cause and effects, because I think a lot of people would love to hear that, because they're listening, probably they're driving, comiendo that 70 snack from coronavirus, or they're just probably like going to the next time they go to the grocery store, they're going to be like, oh my God, I listened to this podcast and now I'm just like, I need to really do my research.
Yeah, totally. So definitely everyone has an influential role to play, because you are supporting these companies with your dollar, right? Mm-hmm. So I would recommend getting educated that the National Dairy Council is corrupt and they're in direct correlation with the pharmaceutical industry. Same thing, like the American Cancer Association has labeled processed meats as a level one carcinogen. So that includes like turkey, bologna, bacon, sausage, hot dogs, all of that is a level one carcinogen. But yet when you go to hospitals and someone is there getting a heart operation, and then you go downstairs to the food area and then they have hot dogs, burgers, bacon.
Yes.
Is this like, whoa, is this reality right now? It's so confusing, but it's very simple. It's because too much money is made from people being sick. It's the, mm-hmm. the crazy amounts of money made from surgeries in the pharmaceutical industry, chemotherapy. All of the money goes towards the cure. The cure is really just medicines that they're giving to people, therapies that they're giving to people, just, you know, so that the it goes dormant. It goes into a dormant state. The cancer, sometimes cancer reappears, sometimes it doesn't. But why is all this money being invested into the cure instead of the prevention? When there's so many studies that show that breast cancer and that colon cancer for men is regulated by diet. Cardiovascular disease, the number one cause of death and worldwide, regulated by diet. It's because it's corrupt. And honestly, it's something that everybody should get really passionate about, because this is your family that they're attacking with this food propaganda. It's your brothers, it's your sisters, it's your kids. For the first time in history, kids are predicted to live a shorter lifespan than adults. That is highly unnatural. Yeah. So take it personal, you know, let it hurt your feelings, feel it, and what they're doing is not right. Get educated on the food you eat and make healthier food choices, even if it takes you a year. Even if
it takes absolutely.
You a year, but you know that you are daily making that commitment to eat X amount, whatever your personal goal is, you're doing something and you're making a change. Something also that people could do is, a lot of impoverished communities are particularly victim to this because of the high amounts of fast food restaurants that are in compared to higher income communities, right? So it's accessible and also it's so affordable. People sometimes think it's all they can afford, but really they just have to be educated on how to shop healthier while still staying in your budget.
You're growing your own food. I mean, people do not know that they can grow their own food. They can grow tomatoes, even if it's basic essentials that they can do in their house in a bucket, or they don't have to have a yard. There's a lot of people in New York City or major cities that they can grow their food. And it's true what you're saying. I mean, going into this community, if you're passionate, if you're listening to this and you are, don't tell your children to eat something because you know it's not good, or you don't eat something, like, use that knowledge and go into your communities. This is why this whole Dear God, Are We There Yet is all about, and educate them and help people, give them seeds and learn, teach them how to grow their own food, because tomatoes, they grow really fast. I mean, we have here in the backyard, I'm just like, oh my gosh, you know, like little things. And exactly.
Children love that whole process, like just that process of growing something with you, planting it, seeing it grow. They will be so excited to eat it because they'll think it's so cool. And you're planting that seed, you're ingraining something in that kid that's going to be truly revolutionary in a world like today. So bringing something like a local farmer's market into a lower income community is great. Talking to your local government and asking, you know, what are they doing to help the diet of this community, and then suggesting, like it's happened in Miami, suggesting, it's like right in Overtown by Wynwood, they very, very low income community, lots of homelessness in that area. They have a plot of land where they've been growing food for a couple of years now. The organization is called Save the Kids. And this can happen anywhere. And all you have to do is go to your local government, be active and ask. Call out your local farmers in your area and ask them to be a part of this local farmers market that you want to create for your community.
Exactly. I love that. And these are all ways that we can all support, even if we are home right now with coronavirus and all these different things that are coming out. There's ways that you guys can help. Everybody listening today on today's podcast, I mean, Itzel, she's just gave us so many resources about our daily habits and just being conscious of why we're making these decisions and where self-love and beauty come from. I mean, it all stems from her acne. Isn't that crazy? Like something so small, when I'm saying small, it was something that it was just her, like, just, okay, I have acne and I'm a kid or I'm young and this happens and hormones and all that stuff. But then she started digging deeper, you guys, into understanding where is this really coming from. And those are the things that we need to do in our communities. It could be for human rights. It could be for food. There's so many children right now that are not in school and they are actually not eating at all because their parents can't afford it. How can we help? There's tons of ways we can help. Pick up the phone, write a letter, be an advocate for it. I did want to ask you, Itzel, if the people that want to probably get more information based on what you do, or you can help them, can they, like, do you have something that they can, like, call you, email you, like, do you have a service, you have something where they can consult with you, like, what does that process look like for people who just want to ask a question or have a comment or something after this podcast?
Right. So you can definitely email me, dualitynourishment@gmail.com. So Duality Nourishment is my health business, pretty much Duality taking care of the inner and the outside as well. you know, your emotional side and your physical side, your spiritual side. It's more than just nourishing yourself with food. It's about healing yourself as a whole, because that's what creates long-term results. So I do provide one-on-one coaching services. My goal is to provide, to help women embody optimal health and beauty. So that's something that I'm really passionate about. I've been doing it for years. And now with the nutrition, it's more of a holistic health and like life transformative program. That's an 8-week program.
Oh, that's amazing. So that's an 8-week program with you to kind of go through all of this in detail. Is that how it works? Or is that your coaching program? Okay.
Yeah. So it's not an informative program. It's a transformational program. So So we really go into the mindset of what are these barriers? What do you need to break through? What are these emotional connections you have with this food? What information are you missing? And how do we get you to create smart goals, emotional goals that are tied to your why and who you are and the change you want to see in the world so that you really follow through with these goals? So we create new habits and rituals for you to follow through with your goals and be consistent so that you could see the results you want to see. So it's a transformational program. It's not an informational program, because I feel like there is so much information out there and people are overwhelmed because of this information and they don't know what the hell to do. So this is more of how to make these changes and make them last in your life.
I love that. And for my mom's listening too, or, you know, or if you have a husband or a wife or a girlfriend or a boyfriend or whatever, a tia, comadre, or whoever, and you feel like this is something that they're battling with or that they need help with, you know, it's not just about what we put in our mouth. It's as a whole, it's your moods, the way you feel, everything comes from that. And that's why people always say food is life. I just have a fun question I like to ask all my guests before I let you go. And it's, you know, I always use, it's to make it, you know, things a little bit more lighter. So what would you say is your superpower? With all this information and you helping your community and helping women, what is your superpower if you had to name one?
Wow, that's a great question. I feel like my superpower is my vision.
Nice.
I really do. Yeah, I just feel like my capacity to see people for what they are. I think humanity is amazing. I think humans are marvelous creatures. I think we thrive in community. We're naturally compassionate. There are hundreds of, you know, if someone was dying, hundreds of people would go to rescue that person if they thought that they could rescue that person. And I think that that's our authentic state of being. And that's the vision that I hold for people, for women, for men, for children, for our earth, is that that's really what I'm aligned with, is that ultimate vision that I feel is our true and authentic state.
I love it. I love it. And do you have a book that you can recommend our listeners? Something that, you know, kind of, I would say in this whole journey of all these years, you have like one of your favorite books that you would recommend us to kind of tune in and, you know, do our own little research and the knowledge that you love.
Yeah, totally. So I think that this is a great one. I would be surprised if you haven't heard of it because it's so popular. The Alchemist.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Right? The Alchemist is a great book.
It's an amazing book. Oh my gosh. And if you haven't read it, you guys, go ahead and pick it out. Check it out. Like, get it. Go to the library and get it. It's
something else. Another book that would be really great, just because I just find this so mind-blowing. There's a book by Dr. Andrew Weil called Spontaneous Healing. So there's something called Spontaneous Remission. That is when people, full-blown cancer, stage 4, colon cancer, whatever you name it, people of all different types of diseases that have been labeled as terminally ill, have spontaneously cleaned and healed themselves. So the book is called Spontaneous Healing.
Oh, I'm going to check that out. That's amazing. Okay. So thank you so much for being on our podcast today. I mean, this is exactly why I have this podcast. This is why I have the community. This is why I have the volunteer and the travel communities, because we all have these amazing little resources and we all have knowledge of some sort. And I want to just end off by this with everybody listening. You know, you might have your opinion about food and you might have this emotion about food or your health or life or whatever it is, but it's so important sometimes to just listen to others and respect their opinions and respect what they believe in and do your own research. And when you come to your conclusion of what you need to do for your life, you will realize that in the end, it's always about helping. And this is what we're doing on this in this platform, is helping each other one conversation at a time, one question at a time. Hasta la próxima. Muchísimas gracias. Un fuerte abrazo, Itzel. Thank you so, so, so much for being on our podcast. And you guys, I'm going to have all her information on the bottom. Yeah, thank you. And if you guys have a question about beauty, like makeup, or you're not sure, or even your whatever it is you have a question, I'm going to have all the information below on this podcast. And just hit her up and just be like, hey, I don't really know about this, or what about that? Or hey, I just have a, just hit her up. She's not going to mind. And you'll never know. Yeah, and you'll never know what you'll learn. So thank you so much. And we'll see you guys next week. Thank you. Bye.
Bye, Alicia. Thank you, babe.
Wepa. Thank you for tuning in. Show us your love and join the conversation on one of our Ruedas Sociales, social media, leave a podcast review, and be sure to tune in next week. ¿Y qué ahora? What's next? Check out our website and volunteer today. We have so many virtual volunteer opportunities, and remember, you can be a part of the change in a changing world. Hasta la próxima. Besos.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.